From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. We are doing that in many ways. This story is about this show is about sharing stories of winning. We also have something called the Growth Factory, and we're a startup accelerator with an accompanying venture fund and a backyard advantage. And in today's show, we're going to reference that backyard advantage repeatedly. I've got the opportunity to be joined by Phil Scott. He is driving economic development for the Greater Folsom Partnership. So we're going to talk about the great city of Folsom. Just such a historic and iconic town, but it's really on the cutting edge in so many ways. You're going to love hearing from Phil, his philosophy, his belief in how we ought to approach winning and where to set the bar when you have a goal. You're going to love today's show. So stick around. And at the end, I'm going to share a quick story about this town that people keep asking me about. It keeps coming up over and over and over again. I'll bring that up at the end of the show. It's a little town by the name of Haneyville. So stick around, my friends.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Folsom, Folsom, Folsom. You remember that TV show, The Brady Bunch, where Marsha and Jan, I think, get into it, and it's always like, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Well, today we are going to be talking Folsom, Folsom, Folsom. I am here with Phil Scott. He is Mr. Folsom. So we're going to be talking about Folsom. It is this incredible town, city, that I feel like I've been hearing so much about lately. And I'm like, Folsom, what's the big deal about Folsom? Okay, so you guys got a lake. Well, that lake comes all the way over to Placer County, my part of the world. Of course, you guys have a prison. We don't have a prison. You guys have Folsom Lake College.
Yep.
We've got Sierra College. You guys have the Palladio. Yep. We've got the fountains. Like, hey, I'm just playing with you, Phil. This is great. I love Folsom. You just share me some of the best restaurants in the region are in Folsom. So much great. And plus, you guys have Adrian Blanco Jewelry. And I mean, come on. You guys have some really, if I wasn't living here, stuck here, living here and loving here, I probably would be in Folsom or El Dorado Hills. You guys have an incredible place.
Yeah, we'd take you. So if you ever change your mind, come on over to Folsom. It's great. You know, I think that our whole region, and we've had this conversation before, our region is really special. And so there is a different feel to the 80 corridor and the 50 corridor. And I noticed I said different and not better one way or the other. They're just different. But as a region, our Sacramento region is, look, I love California. I love Sacramento. If somebody doesn't like it here, I'll help them pack. I believe that we've got so much going for us in terms of not just cheaper real estate compared to the Bay Area. Look at the academia that we have. Between UC Davis, Sac State, Los Rios, Sierra College as its own district, we've got so much workforce opportunities for people to be able to upskill themselves. And that's part of the reason why people want to come here is that it's, you know, whether it's they own their own business or whether they work, you can do, what is it, work, live, and play right here in our own dang backyard.
It's interesting how the squeaky wheel sometimes gets more attention because you hear about people armchair quarterbacking, like what's wrong with the play calling in a region when really there are a whole group of us that are saying, what's right and how do we expand on the opportunity and put the ball across the goal line. It seems like a lot more productive way of living life than just sitting back and picking holes in things. We can all do that, but let's go solve some problems.
It takes more work though, right? But last time I checked, the Constitution started, we the people.
Yes.
So I was waiting for somebody else to figure it out or saying that they're doing it wrong. Be a part of that solution instead of just pointing out the problem. That's easy, but be a part of it. And that's where you and I believe our lockstep of entrepreneurship is not even just teaching somebody how to fish and feed them, but is teach them how to own the whole darn pond that the fish lives in. And that's by helping start these businesses, which we know small businesses are the backbone of the United States economy. And so it's really exciting to know that all of the opportunities there, and we've had people that have had massive success. We've got New York listed stock exchange companies that are right here that have grown from here. Is let's do that 5, 6, 7 more times. It's a great place and great people doing great things.
Well, you are in the business of driving economic development. You are part of this entity that is the Greater Folsom Partnership. You're the economic development guy for that. So we're going to be talking about Main Street companies, tech companies, companies that are solving enormous problems, and others that are just making our society better, because every entrepreneur matters. And we both know that these are the people that take risk, make sacrifices in order to put food on the table for their families, create opportunity, but like really change the world in really positive ways. And you work with some of those companies.
Yeah, but an entire mix, right? We've got great companies. Obviously, people understand Intel is there, but we also have Toshiba, which operates as Kioxia. We've got Micron there in town that is a great partner. And so we've got some really big, Cal ISO is there, WAPA. Between the two of them, they control the grid for electricity here in California. So we've got that. And we have Adrian Blanco's. We have a lot of smaller companies, but not negligible, right? I mean, that's the job opportunities that they provide for people to support their families. And then if you look at the amount that's donated from small businesses in our region, that it's amazing. And so my conversation with people, especially my neighbors, are no, I don't do what I do to help support other people to get rich. That's not the end goal. Economic development is because of the sales taxes that are generated, the transient occupancy tax from hotel stays, all of these things. You don't have a great community just because of great governance. It's got to have a strong economy. Because if you got no dough, you got no go. So it's really important. And then we have the mix of those, a strong economy with great governance. That's how we have great communities. And yes. So that's for doing what we do, is bringing companies to town and focusing. And I think our region has done a damn good job. And I'm happy to have conversation and debate with those that focus on the other, is that we've done a great job of creating opportunities for people not only to start working and start businesses, but then also to move up. And the upward mobility that's available here within our region, if plan A doesn't work out, there's definitely plan B, C, and D available. You don't have to move somewhere else. And that's really important to understand, is that there's places, you know, especially when you move away from the coasts on both sides here in the United States, there are areas where the opportunities get really, really limited. But if you look here in our Sacramento region, across a wide variety of verticals, is there are opportunities galore. And I think our bigger challenge is, well, duly noted, is let's get enough people to be able to fill that.
Agreed. And there's definitely an advantage to being around a place that you know, that you have familiarity, where you have your, for me, you have your friends and family. I want to be near my family. And so together we create this tribe here at the Growth Factory. We call it the Backyard Advantage. And you're a part of that, Phil. But, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, it's kind of interesting. I was scrolling Instagram, believe it or not, the other day, and I got targeted by this shirt, this men's shirt that said, "I'm here from the government. I'm from the government and I'm here to help," right? That's a kind of a famous, I think, political joke from maybe Ronald Reagan or somebody like that back in the day. But it's interesting how the government gets this, I don't want to call it bad rap, but people haven't found a way to navigate what's good about government. And I think in the economic development sector of the government, we've got some really good people that think like we do in terms of entrepreneurship and you got the, you know, you got big businesses contributed, you got Main Street businesses contributing. And the one group that you didn't mention that I know you are immersed in is, I'll call it the startup community within the tech space. So I want to make sure we include those people, the people like Beconix, who you mentioned, and even the venture people in the co-working spaces and stuff, the people that are really focused around this venture startup ecosystem and creating, you know, solving some really incredible problems. So why don't we start with those? There's some meat on that bone. So where do we want to start? You and I are going to fight over the mic a little bit, I'm sure. But where do we want to start on that? You want to start big business? You want to start startup and ecosystems?
Yeah, I think let's tackle them both.
Okay.
I ran through some of the bigger businesses, and that's important. Those people, the stability that they bring. You look at an Intel, or even let's take the prison. That's a big business.
Yes. Right?
You look at the number of people that are employed there.
My son-in-law is one of the guys there. He's right?
great wages, great pension, retirement, all that stuff. Is that doesn't fluctuate. So one of the things that we have the prison, we acknowledge that, is the stability that's brought. Also Intel, the stability that when the real estate market collapsed in 2008, Intel didn't collapse. So there's advantages to having those big businesses that then are the ones that are going, their employees are also going to shop in our smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's, and I think that's enough on the big ones for now. We also did mention.
There's also spinoffs that come out of Intel, like Solidigm and so on, right? Their employees create these things, so they can be super helpful to driving even new innovation, even though the startups is probably where the action is at for me and you.
Well,
or for me, I should say.
Yeah, and I think that startup is where we have this load of energy, and knowing that instead of chasing the bigs, right, Google, Facebook, Apple, our statistical probability of landing them is fairly low. So let's, instead of doing that and missing on almost all the time, let's focus in our backyard advantage and who can we find and bring together and be additive to them so that then they can, and sometimes it's just a little boost up is all they need, right? It may be that key introduction or allowing them to come and work in a space and do an exchange for ownership or a donation, or it comes in a wide variety of packages. As it relates specifically to tech, and yes, we certainly have a wealth of people doing great things. Kyle Middleton over at Granite City Co-working, Marcus over with Office Evolution. We've got even Fourth Wave and Startup mm-hmm. SAC with Laura and all of us, right? Yeah.
And now there's going to be a Startup Folsom.
Yeah,
you heard Rich, about that?
Yeah, Rich Foreman,
doing that. That's
great
cool.
Guy doing great things. And look, the more we bring it to the forefront so that, again, that people that aren't in it on a daily basis understand how vigorous it is and that we all celebrate the opportunity that exists. And the more that we can collaborate, and so that there may be something you have to offer that I don't and vice versa. And instead of us replicating it, that's what keeps me awake at night. And you, I know you and I've had this conversation is John Sellup out at AgStart in Woodland, I think is a great example. Their focus in on ag tech and food tech. I don't want to replicate because part of their success was getting donations for some really super expensive stuff. Like I think an order of magnitude of about $1.5 million of donated equipment. Yeah. Well, if we're doing the same things and we're going after people for the same stuff, instead of that, yeah. Let's all find something we can stay in our lane and be really good at and help out. And so with the medical density that we have coming with UC Davis Health, with Dignity, with Kaiser making that huge announcement into our community of a 260,000 square foot facility right there by Palladio, it's a game changer. And so if you look at the number of employees from each of those three facilities projected, that will equal or surpass the number of full-time employees on campus at Intel. So what's great about that is now is we've got this robust businesses coming in that have history and longevity, but then the spinouts, we're absolutely happy to help get those people that have done it for a while at a big company, but want to run their own.
You know what's interesting about that? And because I don't think we can, but I don't think we're going to be as effective if we try to sort of manufacture from high up these clusters, right? You talk about medical as an industry sector. It's happening sort of organically. The spinoffs that are going to come out of Intel or Kaiser or these larger companies, they're going to end up clustering around the opportunity. That same thing is happening in ag out in Yolo County and the work that John Sellup is doing and all the things, these proximity to UC Davis. there's reasons why these clusters work. You know, it's the same with whether you're in Hollywood and it's movies and film, you're in Nashville and it's country music. These things cluster more organically. And so there, it's not like somebody's in charge and can dictate how these things are going to cluster. They have to happen. That's what free enterprise is all about.
Yeah, yeah. And which I love capitalism, and it's something that let that drive in. And even going back to the commentary with how do we help government? Because I believe it's us as business. We play an integral role in that, is helping bring ideas to staff and to the electeds and say, hey, have you thought about doing it like this? This is what would really help us out a lot. And it doesn't have to be giving us tax incentives or anything else. It can be as simple as streamlining permitting processes, is making introductions, and maybe there is something that they can do to help facilitate putting demonstration and design functionality equipment on their property for a certain period of time. And even just allowing that functionality and innovation to go on property, there's value to us as a startup community. So, you know, those are some things that it really resonates with me, is that for us to take the ideas back and help, again, staff and electeds. It's not that any of those people inherently want to do bad things or don't want to do good. Sometimes is a lot of the people, think about it, they don't have P&L experience. Yeah. They haven't run a business before, so they don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. And my wife was the HR director for the city of Roseville. She's retired now. But if I had advice for city of Folsom, I know people that work at the city of Folsom, people that work at the city of Roseville, even the state, you know, go be around really innovative people. Go be around the Phil Scotts of the world, or the startups, the people that are that know a little bit about the income statement, the balance sheet, and being a little bit scrappy. But they also know how to think more innovatively, because if we can think more entrepreneurially as a government, we're going to be a lot better off in terms of effectiveness and keeping the population happy. We have to think more entrepreneurially.
You know, the use it or lose it mindset, if we could solve that in and of itself, you don't say, hey, I made this much money this year, I've got to spend it by the end of the year, or I'm not going to allocate that back to myself next year. Right. But it exists. That's a real thing. So it's being able to question in a way that's positive, that you can get people to think, you know what, we don't have to do it the way it's always been done. I can innovate. And I think that by us even having the conversation openly right here today and being encouraging and uplifting to those that we come in contact with, is it's okay. Yeah. It's okay for you to do that. You don't have to do it that way. But that's, you've been around it. I have as well. Yeah. And for us to show is that, look, there's times, and we talk about it in what we do as bootstrapping and being scrappy, right? Running lean, because we have responsibility to the end outcome. And so in decision making, is CEO, CFO, CTO, et cetera, is they're looking at it as, look, what are we going to invest, and what's our yield out of it? What's our ROI? Mm-hmm. And so having that conversation as well with our government partners, and it's a valuable, right? We've got site selectors coming here, GSEC, another great entity here in our region. The work that Barry and the team do is to have these public-private partnerships. We were up with Folsom Lake College, Los Rios. What a great asset for our region, right? It spans all the way down into Sacramento, clear up to Placerville. Is for us to come together and listen to what their challenges are and what the opportunities are and what we're needing. I believe this strongly. It's for us in business is to share with academia and government and what we need. And then they go to the citizens and say, hey, citizens, whether you're coming through a workforce development under a government program or you're going through academia, do these things and you'll get this job over here. Instead of the person saying, I don't want to do that stuff, but I still want a job, or I want a handout, that it's the tail's wagging the dog at that point. So that's our responsibility, though, as business people, business owners, all of us together, is to work and collaborate. I mean, look at the people, the bulk of the people that work at the colleges, which that's another big business that's in Folsom, right? Mm-hmm. You look at those people, and the bulk of them live either in town or super close. So, you know, it's our opportunity is to share. And I think that, look, with this video conferencing and, you know, Zoom, whatever format you use, it's speeding up business And I believe that we're going to see innovation and development go so much faster because it's easier to get people together.
Yeah, I love that you referenced two things because I think they're, and I think they're really important, is I'm using my own metaphor, is, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships. So as much as I joke about there might be competition between Placer County and, you know, the Highway 50 corridor and the Highway 80 corridor, look, if one of them is successful, it helps the other. And the same with Sacramento or Davis or Yolo County. These are all, we're all recipients of others' success. Golden One gets built, it's good for the entire region. And I think it's important that as we challenge, as you and I talk about challenging government leaders on their approach, that, you know, we celebrate the ones that are doing it right without saying, hey, just because you're over here in this jurisdiction, you're all wrong. Look, why don't we encourage them to take a look at the ones that are working? Elk Grove is one that's really doing a great job in terms of investing into their startup ecosystem. And some of them are making these longer-term investments, and it actually, you know, it's refreshing to see that. So for me, I try to be a little less critical, and I just want to, like, highlight, like, what's working and really celebrate that, because you mentioned Barry Broom, and he's bringing everybody together under that mindset. But there's a lot that are slow to adopt that collaborative sort of approach.
If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Yeah. I mean, let that sink in for a moment. I'll say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And the more we embrace that, it will permeate. And look at, you brought up Solidigm. I'm not upset. And some of you, oh, you lost Solidigm to Rancho Cordova. No, I didn't.
I didn't even know they're in Rancho Cordova.
No, I did. Well, they came off from Intel.
Yeah, right. I couldn't know where they were
located. For them to go there, if they would have gone to Austin, Texas, or somewhere in South Carolina or Portland, then I probably would have shed a tear in my beer. But to know that they're going to go to Rancho Cordova, so most of those people aren't even going to change where they live, or their kids aren't going to change school, that's a win. So let's present it as a win for our region that they stayed here. We've got another big education software company here in Folsom that started there, and they just have decided they're going to make an additional commitment into our community.
Is that Power School?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we don't have to. It's the difference of having a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset. Let's come from an abundance mindset and look at all the great things we have here in our region. Let's address the things that could be different than they are today, but to make that the focus, what you think about, you bring about. And if that's what you're going to get stuck in, that's what you're going to get. Yeah. So let's invert that, and let's look at all the positive things. I mean, if you look at our person-on-person crime, I think we've got the lowest in our entire region here within our region. Lincoln has, I think, the lowest if you look at their population base.
Is that right?
Yeah, but then Folsom is very low as well. Our person-on-property crime is very low. If you look at our K-12 test scores, they're very high in our graduation rates. So you look at all these things that you say, yes, we can get better, but if you look at where all of us land in terms of these surveys and good places to live, yes, we can get better, but let's not overlook the success we've already had.
I completely agree with that. And in terms of appreciation for, you know, the people that are, you get underappreciated, you end up hearing about people that are teaching our kids, and, you know, a lot of people will point fingers at the school system and so on, but there are some that are doing it better than others. We have to celebrate that. And you guys have a great football team out. Folsom is producing quarterbacks. That's what, like, I take school and I take it to what I love about high school, and that's high school football and baseball and so on. And comparatively, there's no question you guys produce quarterbacks like nobody's business. We produce some good football players with Granite Bay and Rose and Del Oro and so on, but you guys produce some great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And some of those guys have gone on to Sac State, and they're leading Sac State.
Yeah, in colleges. And we've got a phenomenal athletics program. I'm going to go in its entirety. We've got other sports that have done very, very well. And it's something that, whether, you know, basketball, wrestling, the football, and it's something that I embrace that. And it's great for our culture of our area, is to know that we've got that strength, right? It's kind of a rallying thing that people can get behind. But look at, also, we've got a steep and long history with music, right? And band, whether it's the marching mm-hmm. band, we've got performing arts theaters. And here's one thing that we're going to work on. We'll accomplish this, Mark, is what about us having investing teams at our schools? And have competitions yes. for that. And let's have seed investment for high school. Like, they're literally starting actual businesses. And for us to go in, I would love to have my kids wearing around their investing jackets and going to different mm-hmm. communities as much as them doing in sport. And look, I'm involved. I wrestled all through. I came to Sacramento because of Sac City and wrestling at Sac City. I did wow. their place at state meet, then went to Chico and wrestled their D2 Nationals. I'm a competitor by nature. It's in my fabric. I also want us to take and translate the lessons we learn in athletics and a club. I don't care what club it is, and change that and convert it into that same passion and desire for business.
Yes. Okay? I think because on the athletic field, on the wrestling mat, we learn some of the basics around teamwork and hard work. And the other thing that happens, at least some of the coaches, and I don't know if it came from the coaches, maybe it came from just dreaming with my brother about how great we might be. We might be pro football players, but we thought big when it came to sports. And so for me, sports was this outlet for my dreaming. Sadly, I wasn't that good, but it was still a reason to get up in the morning and work hard and try to achieve something. And I think so often when we have our sights low, our dreams are low, you know, we don't have as much inspiration to get up in the morning and try to drive so hard. And sports can do that for people in a way that entrepreneurship does.
Sure. And it's not, as a coach and still being involved with it literally now at the middle school where daughters and also at Folsom High School for the wrestling, is it's not about the wins and losses. As a coach, that's not what it's about, because you're going to forget who it was, what the color of the uniform, all that stuff. It's the self-discipline. It's the motivation. It's the work ethic. All of those things that will carry you on into life. Mm-hmm. That's right. May we impart that to any of the kids. Having the best win-loss record when you're in high school is not the measurement of why all the coaches. And I'm going to say a great shout out to all of the coaches, teachers, administrators. Our public school system works. If you don't believe that, go somewhere else. Go to Guatemala. Right, go to areas and go to countries that just don't have what we have. That's why we, as the United States, we still lead. A big part of this is our public education system. So let's believe in that and let's continue all to be involved with it. But it, again, it's those things that we can take and translate. I'll make an argument that the biggest lessons you learn in life aren't out of a book. And so that adversity, whether it's, I don't care what the sport is, if you're getting a cross face in, or somebody tackles you and drills you right in the chest and you get the wind knocked out of you, or if you're playing in the chess club and you're going up against somebody that you thought you should beat handily, but they still beat you, a lesson in humility, right? And there's yeah. so many lessons that, independent of what the sport or club is, there's so much value to us as entrepreneurs. And when you're going through and screening through resumes, that's one of the things I know personally that I've looked at before is, well, what did you do? That's great. You got a good GPA, but what did you do that built character? Because that's right. In the sports and in clubs, because I want to make sure the clubs don't get left out, is getting our young people and anyone involved in something, right? Stand for something and be passionate about it.
And if you're an armchair quarterback out there listening to this as we talk about the school system and how it's better, and you have a different opinion, or you think that changes need to be made, look, you're invited. Go be a part of the entrepreneurial club or the investing club or the athletic club. There's ways to insert yourself appropriately to make these kind of changes, because I think we're open-minded to, not we, I'm not part of the school system. I believe that most of our leaders have an open-mindedness to bringing in the private sector to contribute. I'm invited to come into these opportunities all the time. You got to go get yourself plugged in. If you're just going to be an armchair quarterback back there yelling at the TV, you know, that doesn't fix anything.
I'd rather people spend the time, instead of watching TV, is get involved. Think of, just do the math on that. Instead of sitting and watching 2 hours of TV, and especially news, What's that do? How do you gain from that? Like we don't have newspapers, not in the house. TV news is not in our house. Is just take that time and do something constructive. And I have a reference point. My dad taught metal shop 32 years at Fairfield High, same class. And his goal was always to take and have kids have a sellable skill when they came out of high school. And so there's also this notion of that everyone needs to go to college. Look, I'm here to tell you, just because you went to college doesn't mean you're going to be successful, right? Especially financially. It means you had the stick-to-itness to get a degree. But again, it comes to that question. You've got a degree. So what? What can you do? And what are you made of? When adversity shows up, how do you show up? And so those things, those are what, and again, for all of us together is to help the teachers, support the teachers. And, you know, look, it's not an easy job. Again, I've got a reference point. I taught for 4 years. And so, you know, let's look to help and not dogpile, right? Let's keep it simple.
Well, you know what? Your dad your dad's to be, you know, celebrated. And so are you for committing to that and helping our young people. And, you know, the work that people are doing in the trades, in the education, sadly, we've lost some of that. Still strong in certain pockets like Delaware High School. They're still teaching metal shop. My good buddy runs that. He's ran it for 20, 30 years. But that's missing, and there's this huge need. Those are great paying jobs. But anyway, those are just things that exist. But the one thing I want, I've never talked about this on the show, I don't think, but I'm going to take this opportunity to bring it up because you did. And that is watching the news. So when COVID hit, I used to be one of those people that turned on the news. Fox News is what I typically listen to. And I realized when COVID hit that all I did when I watched the news was get in a bad mood. And I was already in a bad mood because of COVID. I was already a little, not myself. I quit watching the news for, I don't know, like 2 years. So if just a recommendation to anybody out there that's listening, if you want to be happier in life, watch less news. Maybe watch none or watch limited to, you know, just increment. Figure out a news feed that you don't have to listen to people that are intentionally trying to divide you.
Yeah, and I for me, it comes down to what do I gain from doing that? And watching news, it's not common that I'll find the answer is it really helped motivate me. It inspired me, et cetera. And there's so many other publications, especially that are business centric, that we can go to and really focus on doing something that's going to give us a different skill set or a different mindset, that whether it's in our own business or going in and helping somebody else in their business. And that's, so I just think it's not a great use of time, in my very strong opinion. And I don't, because then you can get in a match of, well, which one's better than the other? And my question is not a rhetorical question, is, well, what's the advantage of either? Mm-hmm. Right? There's nothing, it's not going to help me solve any of my problems in my day. And we all have stuff. Right? We all have stuff. Is what's it going to help? What's it going to help me do to better myself or my family or my neighbors? And generally my answer was it doesn't. So I stopped doing it.
Well, I want to make sure I want to go back to something you said prior to the show, because I want to make sure we don't, as we think about the different sort of parts of the Folsom economy, we talked a little bit about big business and the kind of impact that they can make. And I want to go to the Main Street in a second, but the startup community, we touched on what's happening at Granite City, co-working, and the different, you know, startups that are happening out of there. But you're doing some stuff yourself at an old school right out of Old Town. I think this old beat up, it's still beat up. Yeah. There's an old school out there, and I've spent time there, but not since you've been out there.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing.
So we've got Granite School and certainly the Greater Folsom Partnership. We oversee, and Joe Gagliardi has been in that role for 28 years now. I mean, there's literally nothing, in my strong opinion, because I've been in town 33 years now, that Joe hasn't been firsthand involved with. And so the Greater Folsom Partnership oversees economic development, the Chamber of Commerce, and tourism. So all three are under the same umbrella. So Granite School was built, the original version, 1870, rebuilt in 1915. It's old. It's beat up. But listen to my words. A company is not going to be successful because of the four walls. It's what's going on inside of the four walls, right? So it is beat up. Barry refers to it as our little schoolhouse out here. But we've got fantastic companies doing fantastic work. We're really starting to gain some momentum, is getting people to talk about, well, how do you invest in these startup companies? How can we help our own neighborhood, our own community, by investing in these companies that then again, understanding how money flows to a general fund through sales tax, property tax, and transient occupancy, all the tax methods. It's important. So we've got the Northern California Innovation District, NCID, and we're not an incubator. We're not an accelerator. We call ourselves an aggregator. So there's lots of information, especially the proliferation of Google and YouTube. Right? You have access to a lot of information. Where we feel our strength is and what we're looking to provide is to literally make introductions to people that have a high probability to transact and to benefit from that in a symbiotic way. So that whether it's, again, taking Baconics and introducing them to Aquaco or any of these other companies, that then they start literally contracting with each other and then introducing each other to other opportunities.
Opening these doors is enormous. We all know as a startup, it's tough to, most, you know, 9 out of 10, according to the statistics, are not going to make it, and they go out of business in the first 5 years. And part of that is because there's so much to do just to get your product off the ground and get it sold. And if you can take some of that friction out of there by opening those doors, Phil, and that you are doing that. So the Baconics story is interesting because Baconics is one that you're an investor as well. So you've invested into Baconics. We've invested into Baconics. And they're this startup that has figured out a way to create a software without using code that you would need by like having a world-class developer or just somebody who's, you know, a computer, you know, software developer. You can build software type systems to run products without code. You don't even have to be a computer guy.
Yeah, and a great example. They were getting ready to take down space and move forward, and COVID hits. They were each working independently. And so by using the space at Granite School, being able to come together and then be in the same space and have equipment there where they could do things. But then again, making introductions to people so that then they, and they're not a, they're a startup company, but they're very seasoned. One of the things that was attractive to me was that the three of them had been together for over 25 years. I mean, there's a lot of marriages that don't last that long. So, but there's different challenges that startups they're face. And one of the biggest one is for us to be WD-40 and grease along that communication continuum. And there's a lot of smart people that's not their strong point of going out, shaking hands and kissing babies, right? And you and I, we're not the technical guys, right? Scott's the one that set all this equipment up here right. For us today.
My man Scott over here, all right, yeah. Right?
So, but but you and I can take and help put people together. And that's where Joe, the guy is a master at it, is knowing who would be important and put them together so that then business comes from that. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the time compression, my dad always used to take his hands and he would go like this, time compression. You can learn from me in a short period of time what took me a long time to learn. It's a choice. And that's what you and I have the opportunity to do. And many others, Barry Broom with GSEC and all the different business organizations, my message to people listening to the show that are thinking about starting a business is reach out, refrain from attempting to do it on your own. That's just, it's silly. Is there's those of us that have been around for decades, literally, and can reach out and call within 3 phone calls. I bet you there's nobody that you can't reach here in our region. Is that a fair statement?
I know. It's kind of amazing, the 6 degrees of separation, the Kevin Bacon thing. In Sacramento, it's like closer than that.
Yeah. Look, the math that I use, it's 3. There's really nobody that between Joe, you, I mean, you think about the people and Barry, there's really nobody that we can't get to. And that's, I think, a competitive advantage that we have here in the Sacramento region. Because you can go to San Francisco or these other areas, it feels like it's easier to get lost there just because of the size that it is. If you look at our, even a 6-county region, about 2.1 million people, Sacramento proper, 550, et cetera. But is this, it feels almost collegial here. Is that right? Even if it's Luis and Daryl down in Elk Grove, I've introduced them, Rancho Cordova, Elk Grove, and West Sac to a company that I was introduced to. It doesn't make sense for them to be in Folsom.
How come you didn't introduce me?
I still have.
Oh, you tried to relocate there. Okay.
they're looking to relocate. And so it doesn't make sense, but I still want them here in our region.
Yes.
Because it's still a win. So for us to have that mindset, but for the entrepreneurs is there are lots of us out here, and Laura Good and keeping track of all this, and Rich is helping get the startup Wholesome. There are people that's what their passion is, right? Their gift zone is connecting people. So refrain from attempting to figure that out, especially, again, technologists tend, that's not their strong point, is in a team is getting different people with different strengths and gift zones, bringing them together, establish that culture of this is what we stand for, and then you'll thrive. And so I am so excited about what's going on here in our region. And, you know, again, together is when we're strongest. And it's just by, and I say it this way to people, in alphabetical order, the three things that we need, alphabetical, please, communication, communication, and communication.
Yeah.
Right? There's smart people here in our region. Yeah. There's Doe, right? Sac Angels, Moneta. There's all kinds of Doe. And then we have people that have the desire to do that. So by us communicating and doing exactly what we're doing here today is to get people to take a deep breath. Everything is, it's going to be great here. Let's each one of us do a little bit. By each of us doing a little bit to help, that's where it magnifies and greatness will continue here. And I think it's already great.
Everything is figure outable is one of my favorite sayings. And it's, if you're a startup, it's figure outable. It's just, don't be shy about doing what you said. Go out and reach out to some people.
And it's when you do the figure outable-ing. Yeah. Right? Let's make up words here today.
Yeah.
Is not fire ready aim, but ready aim fire. Because here's an observation is that, and I'm not a formally trained economist, is that it's frequent that people go out and do a friends and family round. They'll go rent a space. They'll get business cards made up. And then they're wondering why they have no business because they don't have any focus or desired outcome. It's not going in the right order. And get people around you that are willing to ask tough questions. And if you're not getting people that are making you highly uncomfortable and maybe even making you cry, certainly making voices get louder in volume, then get some other people around you because it's poking holes before you start instead of after you start. It's easier to do, right? And your cost, and look, there's in a start of anything in the end, the farther upstream that you make an improvement, the longer time it has to magnify the benefit. The farther upstream you go, so it's applicable to all aspects of life. Instead of waiting until you're bankrupt, come all the way back upstream and spend less and earn more. Don't wait until you've got a shunt in your heart because you ate too much and didn't come back here and eat less and exercise more. So it's come back upstream. And as it relates to entrepreneurs and the people we hang out with is before, and let's get to people before they start to ask those tough questions and really make sure they have clear reason and their why am I doing this? And then the other question is, how will you know when you're successful? How are you measuring that? Because people have different measurements of success. It's fascinating. There's no shortage of things to help people with. The best business song ever. You know the best business song ever.
Star Spangled Banner?
AC/DC, Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. And I mean that. Listen to the lyrics of that about getting beat up, underpaid. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. And it is in business as well, right? Your business hasn't been easy, has it?
Heck no.
So, but it's that. Look, I think people think we're being facetious and we're not. It's not easy, but it's worthy. It's worthy. Think about the gratification and just the difference that we're making and for us all to come together and have that. Yes, we can do that. If we can get an orbiter through the rings of Saturn, we can figure this stuff out. Going in the right order matters and having the right people around you. When you say that backyard advantage, it resonates with me is look at all the things we have right here in our own damn backyard. Then the question is, are we using it? Are we tapping into it as much as we could? What could we do? Especially now with all this recording and all the things that are accessible that people by using their cell phones, there's literally nothing that people don't consume now on their cell phones. Right, so it's making it accessible that people can reach it 24/7 and people, no matter where you live. So it's not even just in Folsom. And again, a shout out to SMUD is with this Shine Award is that it's not for Folsom. It's for the people that are in the wards that don't have access to you and I on a daily basis to give them access by doing recordings, talking about how to build a business, how to structure it, et cetera. We can come together and we can solve it.
I love that. And You know, we only have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure, you know, we touched on Adrian Blanco and Adrian Blanco Jewelry, because to me, he was on my show and he talked about some of the things we're talking about right now in terms of difficulty at the beginning and, you know, overcoming some of the early challenges. But now he's a pillar of the community within the region, but centralized in Folsom. And I just want to make sure that, so you and I were talking before the show, I dropped my water. You told me about a few restaurants because I'm always looking for good. I'm put your money where your town is, right? That's me. It's like if I can buy local, eat local from a local restaurant. So you told me about a restaurant called Mystique that I'm going to go check out. It's in Old Folsom and you can, I guess, get magic done at your table. But I like Pizzeria Classico. They've got some really good pizza there. Give me just a couple of names of like, that would bring us to Scott's is also a great place down there. And you guys got that Folsom Farmers Market. That's really cool. But give me a couple other names about Folsom that are more independents that we may want to check out before we wrap up.
Yeah,
the show.
Sure. I mean, certainly Mystique, it's a single setting and the nighttime is a huge table and the level of the magic. I haven't gone there once and not literally walked away saying, no, how did they really do that? I mean, just the caliber is very high. Right across the street, Plank, Citizen Vine. We've got all the ones that you've already mentioned. Zest, up closer towards Walmart. A great Mediterranean food restaurant is there. Land Ocean, we're super partial to Land Ocean. I think they've got a line item in their P&L for my wife and I. we love the service that they deliver there. Zocalo's, right, which isn't unique just to Folsom, but they're in Folsom
now. And
there's
a Land Ocean out in Roseville, too.
Yeah. And they also are the same ownership group for Sienna.
Which is in Roseville.
And in El Dorado Hills. And it's certainly Visconti's just celebrated 30 years. So Italian food, that's their only location and a great one. I mean, just Frank is a great example of a guy that comes by your table. And if the first time he's ever met you, he'll still greet you as if you had known him the entire time he's had his business open. So there's great entrepreneurs in our area, but great food. Makuni's has a place there in town now, Tokyo Lobby. We also have some great Indian food restaurants there in town. And so it's just, there's really nothing. I say this, I moved to Folsom in 1989, and I think it's better now than it was then because of the variety of things. There's really nothing we have to go out of town for. You could buy a car in town. We can buy fine suits in town. You can get anything that you need done in town and certainly within our region. Go back to the natural resource as well. Lake Natoma, Lake Folsom, Folsom Lake. There's so much. I think we're up to 58 miles of trails within our city limits of improved trails. Wow. And so it's important, this whole mindset of giving people the opportunity to get outside. I'm a huge believer. Get outside, be active. It just creates that open space in our heads, not in the physical land, but open space creates open spaces in our minds to be creative and problem solving.
So now that you mentioned that, I've been out there on those Folsom trails, jogging and workouts with other people. And I've been out on Lake Natomas I tried to learn how to paddleboard with my buddy, Rick. But such a great place to live and raise a family. Maybe I'll do this, give you the last shot with the mic here. I knew you and I would argue over the mic a little bit because that's who we are.
We are, yep.
But maybe just why don't you share our closing thoughts for today's show?
Yeah, specifically as it relates to, again, and I don't apologize for it, is for our region, is for us to think that way. The things that divide us are artificial. Boundaries, those don't exist. They're man-made. And for us to overcome that, it's up to us as well. We chose to put them there and act a certain way because of something it's not there. Makes sense? So it's for us to think of, how can I and what can I do? Physical things, even, for in our community, we've got a bunch of us. It's not just me. Please refrain from thinking it's just me. We've got a bunch of us now that when we see the shopping carts where they're not supposed to be, we pick them up, throw them in the back of our trucks, and we go rehome them. We take down graffiti. It's okay to do those things. It's our town. So my closing comments would be ownership. whether it's in our communities, whether it's in the schools, whether it's in business, literally the ownership, when you feel like you have ownership in something, you treat it differently. And, you know, our friend Alex Tromf, right? He and I get in some really great conversations about this, is getting people to feel like they own something. They'll behave differently. They take care of it differently. People say, well, that's not my car. Yeah, it got scratched, but it's not mine on a rental. Well, if it's theirs, then they get upset and they just, so my goal for us all is to increase the feeling of ownership in our region and take actions, not just talking about it. I love your analogy, the armchair quarterback. I don't have a high patience for that. Don't tell me what you've done and then show me what you've done. And I listen and I'll engage. But it's just, if it's negativity and all the things that are wrong. And again, it just comes back to a mindset, and we get to choose, right? And we can aim high. And when you set expectations high, people meet them. If you set them low, they'll meet that too. So let's aim high. And as Sacramentans, I love the jousting, you know, Roseville versus Folsom and all this stuff. It's fun, but let's make it fun and not nasty or mean or abrasive. I think there's great things on the horizon. Are there challenges? Absolutely. Homelessness and crime and all these things, they've been here for, I don't think they'll ever go away. Let's minimize them, but not let them eclipse our focus on reaching and attaining higher.
Yeah, I love it. Phil Scott, own it. Set the bar high and own it. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for inspiring our audience, inspiring me. I really appreciate what you do.
It's mutual admiration.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We talked about the city of Folsom, the great things happening there with Phil Scott. Very inspiring. And if you want to talk about inspiring, I want you to hear about what's inspiring me these days. Beyond entrepreneurship is this place, this town that we are creating. My friend Scott here to my right, we are creating the most magical place on earth outside of Disneyland. It is a town by the name of Haneyville. And yes, it's named after my last name, Haney. And Haneyville really is this this incredible place that is being, it's been manifested. We bought this winery, my wife and I, that was old and dilapidated and run down. It looked like a town, and we have torn the old winery down because it was unsalvageable, and we're building a family compound. My two children live out there with my eight grandchildren, and my wife Stacy and I are building our house, and in the center of it all is this town we call Haneyville. We're rebuilding the old winery to look like an old town, and it's got multiple buildings. One of the buildings is an old gas station, and once you know, the name of it is Mark's Motors. And there's actually a restaurant that we're gonna name Mendoza's Blue Lion Cafe. I mentioned Nate, my son-in-law on the show, works out at Folsom Prison, and we've definitely have a respect for law enforcement in our family. And so we're naming the restaurant after Nate, unless I get overridden. But right now I am the economic development director, self-appointed, for the town of Haneyville. I'm also the mayor and the sheriff and anything else I want to be, because it's my property. I just say that facetiously. We know that I like to live in a collaborative world, and it's a place where my entire family gets to collaborate on what this can become. It's our masterpiece in the making. It is our canvas, and we are painting it out to our specifications. So to anybody out there who's thinking about, you know, being inspired, you can do that at home. You can do that in business. You can do that in the school system, in anywhere in entrepreneurship. It can happen. You just need to set the bar a little bit higher, dream a little bit bigger, and then put the right people in your life so you are not attempting to attack these big dreams alone. So for all you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. And of course, all you out fighting a good fight out there for entrepreneurship here at Haney Biz, here at the Growth Factory, here on the Mark Haney Show. We're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.